Our Father, we take on our lips the words that are not only King David's, a brother of ours, an older brother, but also words, thoughts of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew what it was to be criticized, to be scorned, to be cast out. He did it on our behalf, and he could fully sympathize with the criticisms, the attacks of unjust men who rail against your people, who rail against us in our personal lives. And Lord, we thank you that we have entered a fellowship not only of rejoicing and victory, but also this fellowship of suffering. Our Savior knows what we are going through. He is near to us. He sympathizes. He strengthens us. And so we thank you, Lord, for this time to be together. We pray that you would give us strength for the good work of praying and lifting up the needs of our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, tonight we are blessed to have some special visitors with us that I don't know if we were all expecting, and some of them just a short visit. We're glad to see Stuart and Beth, I think, almost on your way to head back out in a few weeks.
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. So maybe when we get to a point in our meeting, if you would like to, if you want to give a 5-minute update about how we can pray for you, we'll do that and pray for you together. And Emmanuel Mbane, it's good to see you. I didn't know you were going to Africa this summer, but if you're up for it, if you want to give us a 5-minute update, and we'll pray for you here and continue to pray for you, that'll be coming up later on tonight. If you're sitting towards the back, feel free to move towards the front so that the hockey puck can vacuum up your voice and broadcast it to our brethren who are with us praying online. But don't feel like you have to. Let's just let you know kind of how it works. Now, I just have a brief devotional tonight. As usual, we're looking at a small part of the text for this coming Sunday and expanding a little bit on something that there just won't be room to look at during the sermon. So I'm going to look at Mark 3, verses 7 and 8. Mark 3, 7 and 8. And this comes from the longer passage that we're going to look at on Sunday, which is the rest of the chapter. But here's Mark 3, verses 7 and 8. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So in these two verses, this is a snapshot in the book of Mark about how widely the fame of Jesus is spreading. And what we see here in just these two verses is that people from great distances are hearing about Jesus. And people from great distances are coming to where Jesus is, and some of them are following him. It's now a great multitude, it says. And as he's proclaiming a message, and as he's delivering people from disease and from demons, huge numbers of people from all of these distances are coming. If you look at this list of cities and regions, geographically, all of these territories and cities, they span about 170 miles. The distance roughly from here all the way to Charlottesville. That's the range of these territories. People are hearing and coming from all within this range. Now, I want to point out something surprising about the people in these regions that are listed in these two verses. The population center of this region is Jerusalem, Judea. The population in those places, Judea and Jerusalem, they're mostly Jewish. So we're told Jewish people are following Jesus, who is a Jewish teacher. So not much of a surprise there. He's working with his people in his region. But it also lists some other things. It says across the Jordan, the Trans-Jordan region. That's to the northeast of Jerusalem. That's also listed. Well, who lived there in the Trans-Jordan? That is an area that's a mixture of both Jews and Gentiles. So you have a mixture of Jews and Gentiles being drawn in to follow Jesus. And then it also lists this region called Idumea. That is to the south of Jerusalem and Judea. Well, who lived there? That was also a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And then you'll notice one other area, two cities are listed, Tyre, Sidon. They're on the far end of this perimeter of what we've described, far to the north. Well, who lived there? That was almost exclusively Gentiles. Now, it may be that it was Jews from those cities, but it doesn't specify that. And just listing those two cities, Tyre, Sidon, mostly, almost exclusively Gentiles. So, what are we to make of this mixture of peoples were listed there? Well, it touches, what Mark is doing here is he's slipping in to a stream that runs to all of Scripture. It's a big theme of Scripture. What we see here is Jesus is making a people of all nations, all ethnicities, all tribes, all tongues. And this is something that is counter expectational, counter to what God's people who are reading the book of Mark, it is not what they were expecting. Even though this is a big theme in the Bible, it hadn't yet come up to the surface. It's like this giant whale. The whale is still below the surface, but it's starting to come up, and it's surprising them. They were looking for a Messiah who would come for them, for their good, for their salvation, for their nation. And Jesus did come for them, but he also came to reconcile the world to himself. And that was going to be this massive whale that was going to breach the surface. If we want to trace this through the Bible, you see it this way. You see the beginning surfacing of this theme in Genesis. One of the big places is when God promises to Abraham, in the Abrahamic covenant, things like this, Genesis 12, 3. And in you, speaking to Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then reiterating the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 22, 18, in your seed, and that's speaking not only of the Israelites, but of Christ, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now that's just a glimmer. That's a foreshadowing. But you see this confirmed in these multi-ethnic multitudes who are flocking to Jesus in Mark 3. And then you see more of it theologically confirmed when you get to places like 2 Corinthians 5:19. And there Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, committing to us the word of reconciliation. So the whale is coming up. More and more of it is showing. And then, of course, you know what happens with the resurrection of Christ, his appearance to his apostles, his sending them not to only all of Jerusalem, but the surrounding area and all of Judea and Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. And you have it echoed in the Great Commission. And then this is all midstream, and then we jump to the very end, Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After these things, I looked, and behold, what's going to happen at the very end? What will it look like when the entire whale has surfaced? It says, behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So few of us here today, in this room, online, few of us are Jews. So we can thank God every day that God sent Christ, the Son, to reconcile all of us, all races, all ethnicities, all tribes, all people. We thank God that Jesus is a light to the Gentiles. And so, that is something for Thanksgiving, but we also have a response that he's calling for us. We're not surprised that Jesus is sending us to all nations, all peoples. But let's start here. Let's start here in 23508. And let's go to all the peoples that are in our community, all the tribes and tongues in this geographic community. It's exactly what Jesus intended for us to do. Amen.
Amen.